How are you? This is episode 2 of Two Peas and a Bomb. My name's Siobhan and this over there is Rusha. Hi, Rusha.
Hi, Siobhan. How are we?
Oh, here we go with that radio voice again. You don't have to do that.
It's just my intro voice.
and then you swiftly yeah. move on.
That's it.
You're just down the door from Merseyside.
We were over in Liverpool. I'm not sure where we were, but we were in Liverpool somewhere.
Merseyside's in Liverpool, isn't it?
Aye, but that's like more... For Liverpool. Liverpool play on Merseyside.
Right, okay.
Everton play... Where do they play?
You tell me. You've just come back from there.
I'm not really sure.
Neither of us are any good at any sort of geography.
And I've not been on Google Maps today, so I don't know.
But you were in... Where were you? Everton?
Everton somewhere. Not sure.
Great win for Aston Villa, though. And things just going from bad to worse for Everton at the moment. But you guys won 2-0. Let's reflect. How did it go?
Actually Everton I thought started quite well. You know, we kind of scored against the run of play, I think it's fair to say. The wind was doing my head in, man. I pure hate playing in the wind. It's nothing worse. But got a lovely pitch up there, nice wee set up, except from the wind. It's always windy. Right. But we played quite well. I thought we had a few strong performers in the team, shall I say. Thought Jill was outstanding. She was everywhere.
And
I thought
Jill Scott,
yeah. And Sarah Mellon was super. And Nates with a few vital blocks. And Hannah Hampton with a worldy save. So with a few, you know, strong performers. And that really helped us get over the line.
Well, a very, very important win. And going into this game, Everton's new manager in charge, Chris Roberts, was... hoping that it would be his second game and second time lucky to pick up a few points. They're now second bottom of the table and Leicester now coming up third bottom for the first time in the league so far. But Everton, let's just focus on how they performed as the game went on, because you said it seemed like they started to get a bit frustrated with each other.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, like we said before that game last week, they've got some big players, some big names, like... And they've got a few players that came on that you could, you know, they could be arguing that they could be starting too. But obviously I don't see what's going on in their training sessions. But they've got a squad full of, like, such a strong team, but it's just not happening for them. They probably switched off. They'll not be happy with the goals. They'll think it's soft goals. But they've probably switched off, and then I think the heads go down. But it just wasn't happening. They just weren't gelling. Conditions, I don't think the conditions helped either team. Like, it was actually torture. You know, I think that was kind of, you could see them starting to bicker on the pitch.
Who was bickering? I want to know the details.
I can't grass people in like that. I'm not grass.
Because snitches get stitches and all that.
Grassies get slashes.
I've never heard that one. Oh, well, fair enough. See, I like to know who gets annoyed with each other.
Well, I mean, I'm sure if you watch a game, you can see people getting a wee bit irritated, but I'm not saying it was everyone. Maybe a few players were here and there, but that's football. That's football.
The minute, I suppose, you'll start going against each other, your team's... doomed in that game of football.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you look at it. Some games you might have a player that'll turn around and, you know, give you a mouthful, but they're probably doing it because they've already done it to you before and you've not maybe took on the message on board. But look, at professional football, we should be able to speak to each other. It's not because you want to fight your teammate or slaughter them, it's because you want more from them. That's it. But you know, we're a softer generation these days, but you know what they've said, with the whole positive talk, that is quite important too. So yeah, you probably get more out of Shilla when you're encouraging and, you know, try to help your teammate out instead of going, that was absolute pish, what are you doing?
Yeah. How was Carla Ward after the game? Was she pleased?
Yeah, she was actually pleased. She was, I think we say she was quietly confident in going into the game. But so were we all. We all had a, you know, we had a good set of squad feeling. We're all feeling quite relaxed. But I think she'd be delighted, especially right before the international break. And you know what we'd say, like the last few games... we've been getting close. We've just not, you know, got the 3 points yet, but it's been coming. It's been coming. So I'd say she's delighted with how things went.
So Friday night, when we're looking ahead to the London Derby, Chelsea hosting Arsenal, we were speaking about this game as maybe being a league decider. But a goalless draw, a very, very good goalless draw game of football.
Can we just go back to Friday night? Obviously, our mum had visited with her sister. Little niece Amante came down, uh-huh. And I got stung with the dishes, so I missed the first 35 minutes. well, of the game. That was pretty annoying, but I'll let it go.
You should have dug in and made the dinner then, because you have to work your timings out in this life, right. But yeah, no, it was a very good game of football. You missed, actually, Viv's chance where she hit the post. You missed that because I remember you loaded the dishwasher.
Well, I seen it, the one that was pushed onto the bar. Yeah. Do you know what? Viv will probably be looking back at that and going, she went for a pure power, but I think she probably look back and go, she could have went for power, but maybe a bit more accuracy on it, maybe got a bit more curl on it, because the way she struck it was sweet, but it was just that, Mary Earps. But yeah, Viv will probably go, that was a chance, but I mean...
Was the Mary Earps cast?
Was it not?
No.
Guess. I see, that's how much of the game I've seen.
It was Anne Kirchenberger.
It was Chelsea.
Can you just...
Scrap that back, we'll go back to it, but we...
Can we get Katie on the phone? In the transfer window, the rumour was that Viv's on a, maybe on her way out. If Champions League comes calling, you know, she'd be right to make the move somewhere else. But I feel her football's changed in the last few weeks, and she looks like she's right at home at Arsenal.
Yeah, I'd sit her down, tie her to a chair and say, right, listen,
sign
up,
the contract.
You sign the contract. But no, I think you can see her quality, and she obviously played in that sort of deeper position. And we've seen the previous week with her assist, like, she can do that, so... She'll slot in there nicely, and I'm sure she's happy now to do. You've seen even the last few weeks that she's, people have been saying, why is Viv back here defending? But she's just getting stuck in and working hard for the team, so she'll do that in the 10 too. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I hope she stays, and I think she probably wants to stay too. And the thing is, she's only, what age is she? 25.
Yeah.
So I mean, say she signs a 2-year contract, she's 27. And she can still go if she wants to go then, like... But I think she likes Arsenal. She's happy. So she's going to stay.
We're putting her out there now. Have you had any chats with her about it? Has Katie spoke to Viv about it? Or is that very private?
That's so private.
Okay.
So private.
I'll need to get a drink into Katie then and find out the news. And I'll leak it to everyone.
Leak.
A few brilliant saves from Manuela Zinsberger as well for Arsenal. On her day, she's outstanding. And a few chances from Chelsea as well. There was an offside goal from Jessie Fleming just ruled off at 92 minutes. But did Arsenal get lucky? Was that a penalty with Leah Williamson's handball?
Aye, it's a bloody stonewall penalty. And I think, you know, Arsenal know that too, but they don't care. You need to, you know, you need to get these wee breaks in the game. Sometimes you need a wee bit of luck to help you along the way. And you've got that. I think you see Leah's face. She sometimes it's weird though. People will go, why was her arm out there? Sometimes you're running when you're just jumping, you don't mean it. Like, I'm bad for, my arms are flying about the gaff and I don't mean it. But it was a look right after it. It was like the look of, oh shite.
No.
And then she gets a bit of luck and the ref doesn't give it. So... You know, that could be a massive point in the title race, but we'll see.
Well, a great game, despite it being goalless. I think it really set an example for the standard of the Women's Super League, and we don't have to ever back that up or say, you know, it's a good game for showing the standard, how women are coming along, etc. But Jonas Edeval said it's the best game that he's seen in the league so far. Emma Hayes thought it was a brilliant game of football as well.
I'd say the same if I'd seen it, but I was doing the dishes.
You were doing the dishes, so next time, I'm afraid. When you look at games like that and you look at how far the talent's coming, you look at those players as well on both sides, they're coming from all over the world. It's exciting to think what's ahead in the next 10 years.
Definitely. Look, the game has grown. We've been saying that for ages now. It's grown, it's getting better, the standard. You've got players coming from all over now to play in this league, which is great. So, look, credit to the FA for, like, they want that to happen. They want the league to get better. But, you know, it can still go a bit further and, you know, it's on the right path to. But it goes back to last week, we were talking, can there be more teams, you know, because with more players coming in for overseas, it could be, you know, stopping the talent coming through because they're not getting... to play at this level as often and as regularly as you'd like. But it's all positive, it's all interesting. And I mean, that's that, I guess.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks. Wrap it up.
So as it stands then, looking at the table, it's been quite an interesting weekend. Chelsea had the chance to go top. They didn't. Arsenal going into the international break remain top. Chelsea 2 points behind with a game in hand. And moving up into third place, vying for Champions League, Spurs. Another win for them over Birmingham. We kind of predicted this would happen. But Spurs Champions League, that would be a first.
There's a long way to go, shall we say. But I think they'll be buzzing going into this international break, sitting third. You know, that's great. It's great for the team, great for the team morale. But like I said, you know, there's a lot of tough games to go. I'm not sure what their schedule is when they come back, but I'm sure they've got one of the top two,
They will be coming around.
Yeah, but they've got a few big games, so it'll be interesting to see how they do. But, you know, they've been ruthless today, so they'll be happy with that.
When you talk about Birmingham, because we did speak about this last time around as well, it's sad. I find it just sad because I think we're invested in the players so much and mm-hmm. you're not long out of there yourself,
yeah.
as are a lot of the girls that you're playing with at the moment and a lot of the women that you speak to as well. Just 10 years ago, Birmingham won the FA Cup and the league.
It's mental, isn't it?
How has that happened? Has the women's game grown but Birmingham haven't decided to move along with that pace?
Absolutely. Like when you look when the WSL started and they've been in league and whatnot, obviously there's been a lot of changes. But teams have invested and Birmingham haven't. They relied on like a crop of players that they had that probably lived local and ones that travelled that weren't travelling too far. And they were happy with that and they got away with that for so long. And now it's catching up with them. You know, everyone else is investing, everyone else is wanting to grow, everyone else is wanting to do more, support the women's team. And Birmingham are just happy to do, like, what's
bare minimum?
The least, yeah.
Yeah.
They're just happy to. Honestly, I could get into trouble for saying this, but I'm not there anymore. And when I was there, I had a great time and it was a great group of girls, but the group of girls made it.
Yeah.
And this is bad to say, but in the end, you weren't really playing for Birmingham. You're playing for each other. Because they gave us nothing. They did not support us. They didn't care. Obviously, we think it's changed and, you know, the girls are getting a bit more. They're getting a bit more help now. That's great. But they need more. They need more. And I hope that Birmingham one day do more or else they just go, do you know what? We don't need a women's team because we don't actually give a flying about them. So.
Yeah, if you're going to do it right.
Do it right.
And
yeah.
I got into trouble actually recently about the way I spoke to a Birmingham player on TalkSport one day because I asked about the board and are the club investing after everything that came out last season with the lack of investment for the players from the board. And and it feels like when you criticise the board there, you're getting your hands slapped because they're saying that they are investing, but it really seems like it's bare minimum. And it's just a shame for what a massive club that they were.
Yeah.
Like a legendary club in the Women's Super League. One of the first with Rachel Yankee, Ellen White, Alex Scott. So many players. Farrah Williams all coming through Birmingham at some point in their career.
Farrah.
She was Everton. Sorry. Yeah, it's another
edit.
It's another story.
Touch time edit now.
It's sad to see what's going on there at the moment. And Spurs, well done to them because they're just flying. But like we see, they're clearly getting the investment in the back end. You're seeing the players coming in. Just last season, Alex Morgan, a household name in women's football.
I'm not sure how they done that one, but yeah, that was great.
It was
probably
move.
Great for Spurs because I think her probably coming in actually, you know, because of the name she is, she had a bit of power to, you know, probably speak to people and go, look, we need this. This needs to be better. And I think people actually listened. So that's good.
And now they might actually get to qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah, no, credit to them. That's good that they're pushing on. Dare I say it might be a bit soon this season that they're going to get to Champions League because I think I'll not be surprised if City do it.
Well,
honestly, they're growing momentum.
Would you hear about our Ellen White?
No.
Our Ellen? She came out in the week and said, why should we be ruled out of the title race? Because they're only 10 points from Chelsea now. With 8 games to go.
I just think that, like, Chelsea and Arsenal, are like, I don't see them slipping up that much.
Course,
I mean, they
yeah.
might have one slip-up here or there, but I don't imagine...
I feel they've had their slip-ups.
Yeah, I think they're going to be ruthless right now. But, you know, it's going to be hard because there's teams going to be trying to frustrate them and bank up against them, as you do, playing against these top teams. So it'll be interesting to see how they can, you know, get points, but I don't. Yeah. I think they could get Champions League though.
Well, considering today's performance, Manchester Derby, Manchester was blue. Thanks to Caroline Weir, she got an absolute screamer of a goal, breaking the deadlock at 81 minutes. And she's done that before this time last year, same goal.
Absolutely ridiculous. Like, she should be locked up because it's disgraceful behaviour. But it's bloody beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, but to do that again, like, to be known in her head, I'm not going to smash this, I'm not going to curl it, I'm going to dink this again. She just, oh, it's pure genius. Yeah. It's pure quality. It's take a bow hen and, do you know what?
Have a bite.
I'd tie her up and winch her.
Just imagine that sight. Poor Caroline. Wouldn't wish that on anyone, to be fair. Yeah, but sweet Caroline, smash that in. And she was talking about it as well, it's just about being brave enough to take those chances. And what that's done for their league campaign, what that's doing for Champions League position, because they're now up to fifth. And they had a shocker of a start to the season. Oh, obviously, they had all those
stinker.
Injuries.
They had a stinker. Like, everything was going against them. Like, everything was going against them, but they've sort of turned it around. And do you know what? I'm happy to see it. It's nice to see it because, you know, they don't deserve to have been that far down the table with just who they are. But look, they're showing what they're made of, and I think they're starting to bounce back now.
I feel sorry for Steph Houghton because she's had another setback when it comes to the Achilles. And I think about you and your Achilles injury and just how much of an absolute pain in the arse.
Is that what it is? Achilles?
Ours
isn't
it? An Achilles injury.
Right, okay.
It is an Achilles injury. I've not made that up yet.
Right, I know she had that before, but I didn't know that was it again. But yeah. Look, it's hard to get right. It's frustrating. Sometimes it's just time, and sometimes it's like I'd been running about and have some bits. Like, every step was agony, and you can't focus, you can't do what you're meant to do. But I don't know what she's done or whatever. But yeah, it's a shame for her because she's such a massive figure in that team, such a role model. But that's football. This is the game, and hopefully, you know, she'll get back in time for England and international stuff for summer.
Hopefully back for the Euros, but at this point in time she has ruled out of the Arnold Clark Cup because of the injury. But
who came up with that name?
Somebody from the FA bought Clark. A car from Arnold Clark. Imagine, and then they were like, shall we do some business?
I've actually got an Arnold Clark car.
But Cassim, it's a dealership. It's not a make.
I just think Ali McCoist, Arnold Clarnold.
Arnold Clarnold.
On TalkSport. Anyway, we're absolutely ripping this. We should move on.
Yeah, let's move on. But yeah, talking about the Achilles, what was it you went through to get them back to normal? Was it sugar injections into the back of your legs?
I'd torn one, and they gave me an injection, but it was whatever is in it is like a sugar thing. There's a more technical term. Uh-huh. I don't know what that's called. But it's to help it heal or something quicker, something like that.
And you're still getting acupuncture now?
Yeah, I get it done once a week from one of the physios at the club, just to try, and the idea behind it is just to, you know, tendons have got such a poor blood flow, so it's just to speed up, try to get blood to it, that's all.
It's amazing what they do now for injuries like that, isn't it? Like, and how they think they can repair it all.
The thing is, though, with Achilles, like, it's lots of different things that can help, and you need to keep trying to do different things, but loads of them to get, you know, the right fix for you. It's a pain in the hole, to be honest.
Yeah, I have to say, I found it really annoying when you were going through it. Like, only in the last few weeks you've not been complaining about your Achilles, but you would like sneeze and go, oh, that hurt.
That's a bit much.
Going to get a grip. But if Steph Houghton's got it, now I understand how bad it is. Fair. Makes sense if it's our Steph. So yeah, Manchester City up to fifth after a win against Manchester United. We rate Manchester United big time, but it didn't quite happen for them today. Let's talk about the upset of the day, shall we? Leicester.
Wow, yes. We didn't have that, by the way. What do you say? Last week's predictions were honking, man.
way off. Leicester 3, West Ham 0. This is a bit of a change for West Ham of late because they've been doing really well. But
I mean, the only thing I'm going to say is they've been a bit sleepy. They've probably rocked up to the Pirelli Stadium. The Pirelli Stadium, by the way, it's...
That's another tyre?
That's a pure...
That's another tyre? Pirelli
tyre? Pirelli
tire,
is, actually.
Yeah.
Italian,
man.
I think it's safe to say it's a bit of a kip. God bless it. But I think West Ham must have come out a bit sleepy, and Leicester have been on it. They've been organised. They've been disciplined. I seen Tash Flint's goal. take that wee bit of luck, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's done well and closed the keeper down, and, you know, she's got a luck. Any other day that smashes off you and goes out for a throw, goes out for a corner, or, do you know what I mean? Goes out for, sorry, a goal kick, it would have been. But happy days.
Yeah.
I wish that happened to me soon.
What about Leicester, though, as well? Now up to third bottom. They're out of the bottom two for the first time.
What's their points?
Leicester now 12 points, yeah. Everton 11.
That's quality from Leicester. Like, that's brilliant. But you can see, obviously, my mates with a couple of girls still, and you can see, like, some stuff on social media, and you can see how happy and how much it means to them.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to see, and seeing wee Freya Gregory got a goal too. That's nice. She's on loan from Villa, so she's, I think, really reaping the rewards for going out on loan right now. So it's going to be great for her, great for her confidence, and great for just, you know, her as a player.
What's changed? Is it the new manager?
That's what, I don't want to be, it's sad when you see a manager lose their job. Maybe it just came too soon for the
John and
previous people in charge. They've obviously, look, they've done a lot for Leicester.
Yeah.
They've been with them for years, and, you know, they took them from the Championship into, you know, the WSL, which is great. But this league, you have to be in it and you have to learn it. And it's tough. And I think they'll probably went away and they'll have learned their lessons. And obviously the new manager coming in, they're obviously very experienced through maybe, like, the
England,
FA and stuff.
England,
like
England. I think England International she
and
came through.
Look, they've got them very organised, and they've got them playing some good football, and they're playing to their strengths.
They would be buzzing to stay up as well, because at the start of the season it looked like, well, if they continue in this momentum, you know, they're doing really well.
I mean, I think it's safe to say I think they'll definitely stay up now. That's a massive win.
Oh.
And I'm sure they'll get another win somewhere.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. And also Brighton as well.
Look, that's it with Brighton. Sometimes, you know, they get some results and you're like, what's happened there? And then they bounce back again. But, like, they're experienced, they know the league, they're organised, and they've got some good players. It's nice to see Kayleigh Green getting a hat-trick. She's a player that I actually really rate. I think she's highly underrated, but she's a quality player. She's played for Wales for years now, and she works so hard. She works very hard, but she knows where the goal is too. But I think I've seen her, you can see her out wide sometimes playing, and she's a nuisance actually to play against. I actually really like her, so it's nice to see her getting a few goals.
Getting a hat-trick as well is quite nice. We've not seen many of them this season so far. When was the last time you got a hat-trick, can you remember?
Who?
You.
Jeez, Cass, I don't know, I was 12 or something.
12? You were 12. Maybe you were 12.
Maybe I was.
Maybe you were.
Don't know.
We have to talk about some of the good standout moments from this weekend as well, because the Manchester Derby was a sellout crowd at the Academy Stadium as well.
I'd just seen that. It was, what was it, highest attendance at the
Manchester Derby?
Yeah, that stadium's Academy. Ever had, Academy Stadium. So yeah, that's great. It's great to see that, you know, more people are coming along to see these games. And hopefully it continues, you know. I think going forward, obviously, we're getting a wee bit more TV time, which is great. I think we'd spoken about sometimes later kickoffs maybe aren't great because there's such a lot of families that come to the game, and it's understandable. Yeah. Sunday night, they ain't going to go out at 8 o'clock to a game with their kids. You know, they've got school and stuff the next day, so it's understandable. It's about trying to get it right. But when there's games at suitable kickoffs, you've got to see more and more people. And, you know, we are targeting that. Yeah, a lot of children come to the game, a lot of families come to the game. And then, yeah, but there is still some, you know, older people that will come along and watch too. But it's nice to see, but hopefully we can keep getting people through the doors. Yeah, I think it's safe to say Villa, like, we don't get the best crowds at all. We're probably one of the teams with the worst attendance in the leagues, but hopefully, you know, we can start collecting points and collecting fans along the way.
What is it has to change there? Is it the club who push it? Is it the players who push it?
Probably a bit of both. You know, players have a bit of a pull. But actually for us, though, we play in Walsall, which is just outside of Birmingham, so that's probably quite tricky too. But, you know, like, it's a process. We've been in the league a short time, so hopefully, you know, we can stay in the league for a few more years and we'll gather more fans along the way.
Just get Alicia to stick it up on her Instagram every
weekend.
She
does.
6 million followers. Definitely feels like the Manchester crowd are getting it right, you know.
Yeah.
And even the fans who you see online and stuff, a lot of them are Manchester fans, or United or City. So it's getting really right there. And then, of course, we see the Chelsea, Arsenal fans as well are loyal. And they've been around for quite some time. Again, they've got boards heavily backing those teams, have been for quite some time. You've got worldwide players coming into the club as well, attracting big audiences. But that game on Friday night, it was only 3,000 fans that were there. And it was such a good game of football. But like you say, quarter to eight kickoff, is it fair to say that women's football isn't going to attract, people keep saying, nobody watches it and you're not going to get the fans there anyway, but it's not the same kind of target audience, is it? It is families who you see coming along.
Mm.
And it's not, you know, groups of 10 lads who are out for the day, you know, going to the football. That's not what the Women's Super League is even, or women's football is trying to attract.
No. Mm-hmm.
So, like you say, this is the first season with these rights and the way that they stand. Yeah. They're making it work around TV schedules as well. It's interesting to see what will come next season and by year three, the amount of fans that will come in with them.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Like you said, that is kind of a process. Do you know what I mean? Like, you look at Arsenal compared to Villa. Arsenal have been in the WSL since they started. Do you know what I mean? And Villa haven't. So it's going to take time and you'll pick up fans along the way. People might get more interested. So-and-so might come up from the academy and they attract their family and their family's friends, and that's how it starts. It's like a sort of family feel to it too. So
yeah,
it's all in good time. I think Villa will get more support. But what you say there about King's Meadow was only, 3,000 fans?
3,300,
But even that, I don't know what the capacity is of King's Meadow. It's not a huge stadium.
5,000.
Is it 5,000? But yeah. Chelsea do have quite a good sort of fan base. Like, when they've got fans there, it's a nice sort of stadium. It's the same with Arsenal's. I think it's nice. It's compact.
Yeah.
When there's people in, you can hear them. There's a nice atmosphere. So I like that these teams are playing in these stadiums. But what's the next step? Do you play in bigger stadiums? Because then it's going to seem even more empty. So is that maybe in a few years down the line where you can start looking at, right, there's more fans. We have to play in bigger stadiums.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's important now for like clubs like Villa and Birmingham and, you know, these teams that maybe aren't as well established as the top teams to start, you know, getting more people at the stadiums supporting us, and then, you know, we can keep gradually growing.
Okay, so here we go in now to the international break.
Yep.
Where are you going?
We're flying into Alicante to the Pinatar.
So go to Benidorm?
Go to Benidorm with the gals.
Sticky Vickies.
Benidorm with the gals. Yeah, we are going to the Pinatar Cup. I think it's in La Manga. Might have made that up, but I'm sure I've seen something saying La Manga. So that's where we're going.
Mango Claybank?
Not Mango Claybank.
What's a club? What does it mean for Ireland? Do you have to... What's the stage of the Pinatar Cup?
So this is... you've really put me on the spot here. All I know is we're playing Poland.
Right.
In our first game. And then we will play whoever wins another game. But I can't remember what the teams are. So...
What's the capital of Poland?
Is it Warsaw?
I think so. I was going to say, I think it's Warsaw, so that's why I asked.
Where's Krakow?
That's also Poland.
Yeah.
Warsaw is the capital city.
Get in.
Well done, Cass. Well done.
Thank you.
They are top. Ben's take 3 points. Thank the fans. And on to the next.
That's it.
Okay, well, I'll check in with you next week from La Manga. And I hope it's a good international break.
Up the Villa, I'm on the Ireland. God bless.